Australia overnight. Now, as you know, the Optus network simply stopped working during the week, many hours offline, causing a major disruption to lots and lots of industries, the frustration as well to 10 million Australians, 40% of the population. According to my Google search, use the Optus telecommunications network. Now, this debacle has proved that we still need cash and legal tender in our society. And here to tell us more, it's Chris Foster Ramsey, finance expert and finance broker. Welcome to Australia Overnight, Chris.
Hi, Pat.
It's really shown that we need cash and legal tender, and it's not time to push for a cashless society.
Well, we absolutely do. And if you look at, you know, just the general day-to-day use of paying for stuff, it's, you know, more than likely you're going to use a card or a digital wallet via your smart device or iPhone. So there's certainly an argument there that you do need to have access to banks and the ability to withdraw cash over the counter, not having to make an appointment to go and, you know, withdraw cash or wait in the line for ages, or even something as simple as withdrawing money at the supermarket or via an ATM. Those things, in my view, are core pieces of infrastructure that are as important, if not more important, than the telecommunications network, because without them, the world of commerce just stops.
So it's about the relying on the technical infrastructure. It's a bad idea because with Optus going down, we can't use our cards. But also, is it a better sort of way to manage your finances, the fact that you've got physical cash and you can see what's going out and what's coming in? So you're not always just tapping and it just feels like nothing's happening, but you're actually spending money.
Yeah, look, we did some analysis of this on this sort of stuff a couple of months ago, and we found that people that are able to use cash in day-to-day life are better able to watch what they're spending, and there's more of an emotional connection to handing over a $5, $10, $20, $50 note in a transaction as opposed to just tapping a card or a smartphone. So there is absolutely truth in the fact that using cash does rein in and make you more responsible for your purchasing actions.
Chris Foster Ramsey, finance expert and finance broker, discussing finance, about the cashless society, and we'll also talk about the Reserve Bank increasing interest rates on Cup Day. So they want us, though, to be cashless because it keeps the tax flowing and there's no sort of black market. Is that why is it easier just to make transactions? Why is there this push for a cashless society, do you think?
I think it makes things more trackable. I think it leaves more fingerprints. And I think the other thing is, you know, in terms of the retail world, from what I understand, insurance premiums for retail stores, whether it be small, medium or large format, are linked in a way to how much cash is on site. So if you take away the cash, you essentially can, you know, have an argument with the insurance company that the premium should be lower because you're not having that cash handling, you're not having to have Armour Guard come and pick up the money, so or go to the bank and transact. So that's why, and also, you know, the digital world of cash is very much a tap and go, and something that is starting to catch on with the younger generation.
131873 for our listeners to join the conversation. Do you enjoy using cash? Do you feel like you can manage your funds better using cash? Oh, I go back and forth, Chris, where, you know, I'll have cash in my wallet and it does feel good to have it there because it's the physical cash. I tend to spend it first before I go to the card because I like to know that it's there and then I spend it. Maybe that's a bit of a sign as to, you know, it's good to have cash because I can see what's going. I can see it in my wallet. The card, it just feels like nothing's happening.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And I think that it does. It also offers more of a security blanket to you. If the card, for whatever reason, doesn't work when you tap it, or go to transact on it, you know, you can say, oh, okay, well, I've got XYZ of cash in my wallet, so I can, you know, it can still buy what I want or do what I want.
Yeah. And doesn't it, it's a wake-up call when something like this happens with Optus, how we're connected so, you know, to a computer. You know, once it switches off, there's your money or your phone or whatever. You don't have access to it. It's how something we take for granted is so simply taken away that you can't get access to your money or to your information in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there's, you know, that underlies another issue, which is should things like that, you know, the world of commerce be reliant on a plug-in? Essentially, what happened on Tuesday was a plug-in, something didn't work and it was switched off and it took a whole lot of things with it. So should there be a number of other redundancies, or should there be government policy around, you know, the need to have, make that not happen?
Yeah. Well, that's right. I wonder, because, look, it's an essential service now. It's an annoyance for some people. You know, your phone didn't work, but there's higher levels where there was, you know, lives and businesses really being in danger because of this shutdown from Optus. There's also the Reserve Bank just shifting gears now, the 13th interest rate increase as well, heading into Christmas. What's your message for our listeners? Should they just, you know, take a breath and not panic?
Oh, look, I don't think there's a need to panic at all. I think that really, I think that the message out of this just is it's just the price of money at the moment. It's not going to be the price of money forever. And it's affecting everyone. And the whole idea is to, you know, costs to be cut to a point, but not a ridiculous point of cloth cutting. You know, I think that in terms of the rate that you're paying on a home loan, probably give it a week or so and just see what email or letter the bank sends you, and maybe just give them a call in a couple of weeks, or your broker or your lender or your bank manager, and say, look, is this really the best deal that we can get? Because I think that, you know, probably early next year that there will be another refinance wave come, and things will become competitive again in order to for the refinance business.
So you can pick up the phone and say, look, you've sent me this letter, there's been the change to my interest rate, come on, can you sort of help me out with a better deal? And you might get a better result by just simply communicating?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and we do that for our clients on a weekly basis, or, you know, fortnightly basis, just to make sure that what they're paying isn't over or under. I mean, if I take a sort of obviously every situation is different, but I mean, if you've got a home loan of and it's sort of got perhaps a 6% in front of it, post this change in middle of the month, it may be uncompetitive. But as I say, every situation is different. So you've got to really, you know, speak for your own individual circumstances.
Yes. And we feel for those who are, you know, suffering through this time now, because with this interest rate rise, there's a lot more people heading into that mortgage stress situation, and utilities and petrol and rent are all going up. And, I mean, there's the argument about the Reserve Bank, you know, tweaking the interest rate is an old-fashioned tool, where you've got rents and petrol and other things, you know, the prices are increasing on those items, and the interest rate, it doesn't actually affect them. So they'll continue on. So inflation will still be fueled by other factors, no matter what the Reserve Bank does.
Yeah, and that's certainly an argument, and I think that's, you know, not wanting to sort of stray too much from the subject, but I think that that's certainly an argument that needs more investigation, and something that I think is probably needs some type of review. And I think the RBA review that the government's undertaking at the moment is part of that, but I think there's a whole lot more to it as well. But
yes.
That's, you know, more of an economical discussion than an interest rate discussion.
Yeah, got it. Well, that's right. So the message, you know, you're right, that's the economy and that's what's happening, you know, outside of us. But if you don't panic, phone your bank, and it's, you know, as you say, it's the price of money now, but it won't be the price of money forever. So just sort of get through it if you can, and then the situation will improve with time.
Yeah, and if you can't, please be on the front foot in ringing your bank and saying, it's just getting a little bit out of hand now, the interest rate, you know, it's really affecting our budget, it's really affecting our life. What can you do to help me with this? And you know, 99% of people at the bank will get you in touch with the right people to have that proper conversation about the mortgage stress and how to decrease it and take the mental load off what that brings to be able to help you get through it. Because banks aren't in the business of selling houses. They're in the business of banking, and they want to see, you know, every borrower and family be successful in what they've borrowed the money for.
And if you put your head in the sand, it's just going to get worse. So sort of take it head on, I guess, and just get out there and do your best to sort it out. Well, wonderful to have you on the show. Our listeners can join us if they want to contribute or comment on 131873. Thank you, Chris Foster Ramsey, finance expert and finance broker, for being on Australia Overnight.
Thanks, Pat, for having me on.